now time for the Port Podcast.
In 3, 2, 1, we are back. Thank you so much for joining the Port Podcast. We have such a great episode lined up for you today. We are going to be talking to Jonathan Waba, the Senior Vice President at CPKC. Jonathan was here back in June for Port Days, and wow, his panel was exceptional. I learned a lot. I know the community learned a lot. If you're looking to watch that panel, it is available on our YouTube channel, so make sure to check that out. The work that Jonathan and his team are doing is exceptional. We're so excited to talk to him. I know Craig is very excited to give him a call, and we're going to give him a call right now. What do you think, Craig?
I'm all in.
Let's do it.
It's a big one.
We're not going to wait. We're just going to call him right up right now, and we're going to see what he's saying today. It likes the delay on the roadcaster.
I like that. That makes it,
it makes it a little bit more real, right?
Building the suspense.
Jonathan speaking.
Hi, Jonathan. How you doing? It's Kate calling from the port.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm here with Craig.
Hello, sir.
Welcome to the show, Jonathan. We're tremendously pleased to have you today on one of our last episodes of 2023.
Well, right on. Thanks for having me, Craig, and look forward to catching up.
We're so excited to have you join us today. I know for me personally, working at the port just this past year, I've learned so much about, you know, what the port is doing with CPKC. And I watched your panel and I thought it was so cool to really see, you know, the work that you're doing and the progress of that. So I know Craig will kind of give the audience a little bit more of a bit of context around that work. So go ahead, Craig.
I'm just excited to get into the question. So as Kate mentioned, CPKC and the Port of St. John, we've had a transformational journey together the last number of years. And I just want to say Jonathan has been a part of that from the very beginning. I had the pleasure of meeting Jonathan and Mr. Keith Creel, who was also here this past June at Port Days, back in the early days of CPKC. Becoming part of this journey here at the port. And it's been such a pleasure to build relationships and to watch this transformational rail company look at the North American map and do something that is really unparalleled across this continent. And we're just so excited to get into some questions with Jonathan today. So Jonathan, I'm gonna kick it off and just have you give a bit of an overview about your time at CPKC and how you came upon St. John and all the work that you've done here to date.
Yeah, well, thank you, Craig, Kate, for having me and for the kind words. My background, Craig, at CP, I've been involved on and off with our intermodal business over the past 7 years. I had a couple years in the middle of my time here where I was off working with the team during the integration and the purchase of the Kansas City Southern Railroad. But the international intermodal business is something that's been near and dear to my heart. And as you mentioned, I'm really, you know, personally quite proud that I was there at the very beginning, way back in 2019 when CP announced the purchase of the CMQ Railroad, which brought CP back to the Port of St. John, for the first time in over 25 years. And since then, really, St. John has become a key component on the eastern side of our network. For growth on the container business, and overall for you know, expanding Canada's trade platform globally.
Yeah. So Jonathan, tell us a little bit more. You talked about the acquisition of the CMQ line, but really, you know, CP and now CPKC has become quite renowned for the merger with Kansas City Southern. And you mentioned you were a very key player in that merger. Maybe tell us a little bit about how that's all rolled out in the last year to 18 months.
Sure. So we closed on our acquisition of the Kansas City Southern in April of 2023. And so over the past 9 months or 8 months or so, we've been busy working on implementing the integration plan that we built over the previous year and a half or almost 2 years from when we first started our journey. Craig, we're really pleased to maybe update further from the update we gave this summer. Things are going well on the integration side. Some of the early to-dos or checkpoints that we said we wanted to make sure we stayed on side of were, you know, ensuring that we run a safe railroad and that we make it safer than how we found it. and we're certainly hard at work doing that. We told the regulators in the United States that service levels would at the very least stay the same, but our goal was to improve them, and we've largely achieved that goal. And another commitment that we made to the regulators is that we wouldn't close any gateways or foreclose any gateways, and we haven't done that. In fact, we've done the opposite. We've grown our gateway traffic specifically through the Mexico to the United States corridor. So, you know, our CEO talks, Craig and Kate, about this as a forever deal, as, you know, we're a 140-something-year-old company. So we have a very long-term view, and we're not even a year into it. But so far, very early days, we're pleased with the progress that we've made. We've got good line of sight for executing on our targets and goals in the medium term, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I like forever plans. I like things that are thoroughly researched. I like that, you know, that partnership and nurturing that relationship. And that was something that, you know, when I was at Port Days, I really took that away from listening to you speak. I'm curious, you know, what was your biggest takeaway from Port Days?
You know, that was my first time attending Port Days in person. And what struck me that was perhaps unique about Port Days at St. John this year was really the collaboration and the involvement between such a large number of parties outside of just your organization at the port. So, of course, you know, the port, you and your team are committed to the development and the growth of the Port of St. John, but the commitment from the business community, so, you know, specifically in the containerized trade, you know, DP World's commitment to the port, JDI's commitment to the port, and CP's commitment to the port, really all stood out to me. And then layering on, you know, all the layers of government, the municipal government, the provincial government, the federal government, it's quite unique where you've got so many parties that come together in one place that all share a common goal for development of a gateway. And it's not like that everywhere. It's not like that in other parts of North America. And so, Kate, I would say it was really nice to see just how strong the commitment is across the chain of participants there in St. John.
I would just add to that too, Kate. Jonathan, you and your team and your availability over the last 18 months and the generous time you've given to efforts like our workforce partnership, I think has created a lot of that spirit of collaboration. It's something that we've worked really hard over the last number of years. We didn't have that 10, 12 years ago when I joined the port. So it's here now, and we want to thank you and your colleagues that have shown up time and time again to our workforce partnership meetings. You take the time to talk to the Longshore Union, you know, the different users of the port that you mentioned earlier, the Employers Association here in St. John. So it's really a full team effort about collaborating and painting that picture of a future state, because we're still so early in that journey of growth.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Craig, that's such an important point you're making. You know, one of the first times I came to St. John, 2018 or 2019, and we met with the port, and we met with DP World and JDI. And one of the things that we heard was, we also met with local members of government. We heard was, you know, the port had made commitments to the labor force, to the workforce over the years that, you know, perhaps could best be described as false starts. and those false starts, you know, over the course of time, perhaps caused doubt to creep into people's minds that the port would ever realize the grand vision that that many of you in St. John have had for a long time. And so I think in these early days, you know, taking the time to meet and tell our story with everybody, every stakeholder, from you know, folks who have worked at the port for 30 years to people who are maybe just signing on, and explaining to them why this time is going to be different, and why we have so much conviction in the vision, I think is critically important, because without their buy-in, you know, we won't see, you know, the efficiencies, the productivity, the safety, all the things that we require for the port to be successful long-term in a truly globally competitive environment. We won't have the buy-in, especially from labor. So I think that point you made is really important going forward.
Yeah, no. Well said. Maybe let's spend a little bit of time looking back at 2023 and forward to 2024. So I'll ask a little bit of a leading question here, Jonathan, because I'm proud of something in what's been a challenging year for global trade. Year to date, we're the only port, or the only container port in Canada that's up. And you folks at CPKC are a prime driver of that. We're projecting towards 153,000 to 155,000 TEUs, and we can say that with great conviction because we're at December 20th right now. So in what's been a challenging year, how have you folks been able to drive all the growth and have the good news stories that you've been reporting on throughout 2023?
You know, it certainly has been challenging, Greg, and we count ourselves fortunate to be a small part of the story in St. John relative to growth. As you note, most ports and most trade lanes on the containerized side are down year over year, 23 over 22. You know, if you take a step back and say, well, why has it been like that, and then maybe what does the future look like? You know, coming out of the pandemic, we had a, you know, coming into the pandemic, we were in a reasonably balanced, perhaps soft market. The pandemic took us through roller coasters of supply and demand imbalance, which ultimately resulted in strong volumes on most trade lanes through second half of 21 and most of 2022. Coming out of the pandemic, you know, we're in a much more balanced to down market where North American distributors and importers are still chewing through overstocking or inventories that are higher than they require for market demand right now. And then, you know, more recently, we have some episodic supply chain disruptions, first on the Panama Canal and now very recently on the Suez Canal, which are again throwing a wrinkle into global supply chains. And so, you know, as we look forward to 2024 and beyond, I think one of the reasons that we're so excited about St. John is because the optionality it gives the shippers in and out of the continent is something that they didn't have, you know, going back to before CP purchased the CMQ. And the growth at St. John this year, I think, is a direct result of the optionality and the stability it can provide in a global supply chain where whether it's the Suez or the Panama or COVID or the Ever Given incident earlier, all of which, you know, Craig, it's almost to say instability has become the new normal. Somewhere in the world, something is going to occur that could have a negative impact on global containerized supply chains. And that's why I think having, you know, St. John up and running with more trade routes and more steamship lines calling on it has allowed your port to grow this year.
Yeah. So one kind of follow up to that, Jonathan, you know, CPKC, you talk about your unrivaled North American network. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit, because I think it would add great context to what you just said. What is that North American network?
Right. So our legacy network. So most of your listeners are certainly or likely are familiar with both Canadian railroads. And here at CPKC, on the legacy Canadian Pacific network, we were a transcontinental freight railroad that stretches from St. John, New Brunswick to Vancouver, British Columbia, serving ports at both ends as well as at the Port of Montreal. With our purchase of the Kansas City Southern, we now have a railroad that runs across Canada and then north-south from Chicago all the way south down to the Gulf of Mexico in Texas, and then continues on all the way down into Mexico with access on both the Gulf of Mexico on the Caribbean side, as well as on the Pacific side in very southwest Mexico at a place called Lázaro Cárdenas. Yeah. So they're really, the term you use, Craig, of unrivaled is accurate. There is no other railroad in North America that can touch the Pacific on both the Canadian side and the Mexican side, as well as the Atlantic at Montreal, St. John, and in the Caribbean on the Gulf of Mexico. And so for our customers, our steamship lines, and the beneficial cargo owners that use those steamship lines, we've got optionality now in and out of the continent in response to supply chain disruptions and also just in response to changing trade patterns that no other railroad can offer. And we think that's a very important difference between our railroad and our competitors.
I just think I find it so interesting because I've lived here in St. John my entire life. I'm 34, and seeing what's happening from an integrative perspective is very, very refreshing. And hearing you talk about where I live is very refreshing. And I find it, it's inspiring too. And I think, Craig, you probably agree with me, but it's inspiring and it gives a better hope for a better future here, whether it's for our workforce or for, supply chain fluidity or getting things to getting the goods and services to the people that need them. And I think it's so interesting to hear you shed light on how that happens and where it's happening. Like I thought I knew a lot about the legacy network of your routes, but I just learned something even hearing you speak about how far they go. So I think it's great for our community to understand a little bit more about the work that CPKC and other stakeholders are really investing from a time and funding perspective, because it's drastically changing our city, and we can see that. We see the results. So I think it's I'm just a little bit stuck for words because it is very refreshing.
Well, you know? I just have to throw out a stat that just quantifies what Jonathan has said earlier and what it means for people working on our waterfront. In 2021, there was 140,000 hours worked on the waterfront, which was a decent year if you look back to the context. But really, we had suffered through some decades of decline and different trading patterns. And, we've talked a lot about this in the podcast about reversing those trends, but the difference between 2021 and 2022, when CPKC fully started to ramp up and helped bring in, Hapag-Lloyd and the now three weekly services we have in 2022, we jumped over 300,000 hours worked. That is a lot of impact on families. There's people that listen to the podcast. There's people that work in this community that now have direct family members or friends that are working for the short line, working at the port, working for the longshore, working for the tugs, working for the harbor pilots. This growth has become deeply personal. We just had our member of parliament, Wayne Long, on the podcast, and he just reiterated that now it's a point of pride and a point of every discussion when you drive across the harbor bridge and you're able to see those containers, because you're able to relate them back to something that means something to you in life. And usually it's about your family living a healthy, prosperous life. And that's what these jobs are doing. And I just can't stress, that's why we're so excited to have you, Jonathan, that 2021 to 2022 paradigm shift is something, we think we can do a lot more with that. But that single-handedly set a new tone and reversed a 40-year, large decline.
And a tremendous way of thinking too, because you gave people real results and a real picture with those results and real metrics to show what can happen when you invest in people and a good plan. Mm-hmm. And I think now people can say, well, it's not like how things maybe used to be, it's better. And, I think that's very important to whether you be an investor, stakeholder moving here, but it is insanely prideful to kind of see what you guys are doing with the acquisition here in St. John. So thank you for all of that work that you're doing.
Well, listen, that's a great one. I wasn't aware of it. And I have two comments to it. The first is thank you to your listeners and to the greater community of St. John. All those extra hours worked, while they certainly are driving that economic prosperity locally in your community, they're also driving prosperity and trade across the rest of the country, because all that cargo goes somewhere else or comes from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And there are jobs on the other end of those shipments as well in Canada. So those, that's something to be mindful of. And then the second comment I have, I think this is probably tied to the excitement and enthusiasm theme of the conversation, is that I really believe we're just getting started with this growth story in St. John. And if you look at other large or even small gateway cities in North America, and Prince Rupert on the opposite side of the country in British Columbia, which is not served by CP, it's only served by CN, I think is a great example of what I think can happen in St. John over the course of time. And that's, you grow an ecosystem around a successful port. By design, from the terminal operators, from the railroads, from the port, but also sort just by the nature of the investments being made. So you think about, well, What other things do railroads move that enter and exit the continent? Finished vehicles. So finished vehicles that are sold in Canada that aren't built in Canada, that come from overseas, that come from Europe or that come from Asia, those move by water and they need a place to be discharged. And you know, we've had very early conversations with all sorts of folks about, could we do an automotive compound in St. John? And there's no reason that we can't. The food trade, you know, most of Canada's citrus and berries and vegetables that arrive from offshore come into ports on the U.S. East Coast and end up getting trucked to the population centers in Toronto and Montreal or in Ontario and Quebec. There's no reason that with the right investment, we couldn't construct refrigerated transloading capabilities, warehouses, distribution centers in St. John to move that business away from an American gateway point port to a Canadian one. And then on the export side, you know, we are an export-rich nation, as most folks know. Today, most of the raw materials we pull out of the ground in Canada get exported over the West Coast. But with the right infrastructure and partners in place, there's no reason that some of the forest products, the paper products, the frozen French fries that are produced in Atlantic Canada, why those can't participate in the ecosystem over St. John as well. So that's a mouthful in a lot of different areas. But, you know, CP is all in. You know, we're not leaving. We made a very large financial commitment to come back to St. John, and part of that is we think we can develop these other lines of businesses in tandem with the containerized business. And, you know, with the workforce being on side and productive and safe, you know, Craig and Kate, there's no reason we can't recognize that same level of success in the years to come. And Craig, you can keep sharing every year stats of hours worked going up up and to the right.
Absolutely. And hopefully, Jonathan, we'll be able to have you back on the show in early in the new year to talk about what we think is some big development that we're hoping to announce very soon around the cold storage front as well. It's something that we're very passionate about, and with the help of our partners at CPKC and DP World, we think we're on the verge of something great with respect to cold storage. So I just want to thank you, Jonathan, for coming on the show. You've summed up and articulated what we really believe is a tremendous working relationship. It's just a pleasure to work with you and your colleagues. I echo your sentiment that the best is still yet to come. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and you continue to challenge us to do great things and keep investing. And we on the other end here in St. John are going to do our best to make sure that we fulfill all the visions that you have for our region. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Craig Haight, all the best to you and your families over the holidays. And I look forward to talking with you in the new year.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yes, have a happy holidays. See you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So how great was that?
That.
If that doesn't give you a shot in the arm,
we're going to have
adrenaline.
To bring him in next time.
Jonathan,
yeah, that was very, very, very refreshing. And I just, you know, for those that are listening, I think it's very easy to wonder, you know, what certain groups are doing, or who are those people that are now the terminal operators. And I think it's important to get out and get to know them, get to know the people that are taking a real sense of continuous improvement and real metrics, and then trying to figure out something that's adoptable and a safe process that helps make us have more opportunities for one, a more livable, workable, and, you know, just better place to live. I think those are all great things, but to hear it coming from someone that isn't always here is just, I don't know. It's
we need that. St. Johners need that third party validation.
Big time. Because I think, you know, Wayne said it before, it was always something that you kind of, you know, jab yourself at that you lived here, or that, you know, there are certain things about it. And I think there was a time where we probably both thought about getting away. I'm proud that we stayed, and that, you know, we're seeing what happened as a result, but I think there's so much more work to be done. And that's not a negative thing to say. I just think it's important to look at, if you have questions, like, I just want to pull back one example. If you have questions about maybe why they're doing the walkway at the waterfront instead of getting the building up first, ask the Fundy Harbor Group, ask people, listen to things, ask them questions. And, you know, we found out why. It's because they want to make sure people can actually walk it while they're in development and it be safe. So I think asking questions is really important. Understanding who is investing, who our terminal operators are, what opportunities are available. I think it's important for you as the audience to ask more questions. Let us know what you want us to cover more. Who do you want us to speak to?
Send us names of guests.
Right. So. I know you guys have been sending them in a little bit more like wildfire the past month. So I appreciate that. And we're excited to kind of, you know, roll into 2024. So thanks everybody for joining. We thank Jonathan Wobb and his team for getting him on the show today. That was really, really refreshing. I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go.
We're ready for 2024. So, we're going to skip the holidays, get right into action.
We're back. We're back recording, guys. Thank you all so much.
Everyone needs the break. It's been an excellent year. It's been a long year, but it's time to enjoy some time with friends and family.
And if you're watching this after the holidays and we release it after, well, we hope it was a good one for you.
We hope it was a good holiday.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.